Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start.
Welcome, my friends. This is the show that never ends, and this is your host, the General Gonzo S. Patton. Welcome to Freedom Outlaw Radio. Freedom Outlaw Radio has a new affiliate, the Rebooting Liberty Radio Network, at live.rebootingliberty.com. The first, last, and only name in Liberty Radio. Thank you for joining me today. I hope it's warm and wonderful where you are, because here in the peaceful confines of my lair, I'm hiding from the blustery winter weather. We're going to get right to it. I want to let you know that our chat room is open for those of you that would like to take advantage of it. Not going to take callers today. We do have a call-in number. We might take a caller if there's somebody who wants to argue with me, because I love to argue. So, what the hell? For anybody who wants to argue and fight, 347 857-1197. Once again, 347-857-1197. But have a take, please. Don't just want to call in and scream obscenities at me. Have a real take. We're going to get right into the meat of this, because this is going to be a multi-part episode about gun control. So let's talk about what gun control really is. The state creates its own enemies through gun control, ghoulishly capitalizing on the tragedy of a mass murder. The anti-gun forces are surging forward with their plans for total gun confiscation. Yes, they are, Barack Obama. If law-abiding private citizens are disarmed, they claim criminals and crazies would be unable to kill and maim. Yet, those folks yesterday had pipe bombs too. That's an obvious lie. Criminals, by definition, disobey laws, and madmen can kill with knives, cars, champagne bottles, pipe bombs, and other things that are easily and readily accessible. The not-so-secret agenda of the state and its apologists is clear. Disarm peaceful citizens to render them powerless. Turn law-abiding Americans into criminals with the stroke of a legislative pen. Anyone who refuses to surrender his or her weapons would become an enemy of the state. Much the same as any armed citizen is right now in the Soviet Union, Communist China, Socialist Nicaragua, Fascist El Salvador, or Monarchist Great Britain. Gun confiscation is nonpartisan. It is always and forever aimed at anyone disliked by the current gang in power. Gun seizure, if you remember, back to history class, sparked the 1776 Revolution. The American Revolution began in a dispute over gun control, when British redcoats marched towards Lexington and Concord to disarm farmers there. London claimed to be the legitimate government ruling America, just as Washington or Sacramento or Albany claims to be today. And their attempt to disarm us stems from the same power lust that drove King George. We must therefore hold on to our guns, legally or illegally, for the same reasons the colonists did. For the very truth about gun ownership is simple. Gun control is not about safety, it's about control. The anti-gunners, certain that the role of government is to grant privileges and dictate behavior, shout that citizens have no reason to be allowed to own assault rifles, which have no legitimate sporting use. The Constitution, though, says nothing about a well-regulated hunting club being necessary. We do not own handguns, assault rifles, shotguns, and other weapons because we are hunters or plinkers or collectors. We do not even own guns because the Constitution allows us to. The Constitution does not grant rights. It recognizes rights already and irrevocably held forever by the people themselves as individuals, and forbids the government from trampling on them, just as it forbids the trampling of free speech, the right to be free in our persons and papers, and all of the rest of our natural rights. Without the Second Amendment, to keep and possess firearms, ensure the rest of our natural rights, the government would run more roughshod over us than they already do. Can you imagine a nation state controlled by the right or left, kept unchecked by we the people, unarmed? We have a right to keep and bear arms regardless of whether the Second Amendment exists or not. All Article 2 guarantees is that we shouldn't have to defend that right against our federal government. We've seen that simple guarantee erode, though, haven't we? The real reason for gun ownership is to protect the individual from the state, whether it be an invading state from across the seas, a domestic state grown tyrannical and oppressive, or an invading Islamic horde. The goal of total repressive confiscation is clear in the subtle shifting arguments of the anti-gun forces, be it any town, Moms Demand, or any other group. When handguns were the target, they clamored for more prohibition because handguns were not militia-type weapons protected by the Second Amendment. Now they cry for assault rifle bans because mere citizens have no business possessing military-style weapons. These eager confiscators rightly point out that assault rifles, handguns, and indeed all weapons have only one purpose, to kill. Again, they speak a truth, but only partially. The unasked question is, to kill whom? And under what circumstances? The answer is, to kill any who attempt to rob, maim, rape, or kill us. Even that answer, though, does not fully express the most important reason for gun ownership. Only a small number of people are actually touched by criminal violence. The state, though, touches each and every one of us every hour of every day. People and government seek to tax our earnings to pay for their whims, to draft our children to fight in the wars that they start, to regulate and interfere with our lives out of pure love of power and their desire to wield it. They have become as tyrannical as any Tory, redcoat, Soviet commissar, or Nazi Gestapo ever was. And they are coming to steal your last line of defense against them. Will you meekly obey? When any law against guns is passed, how is it backed up? How will the state remove banned weapons from private hands? How will agents of the state disarm the citizenry? Why? By the use of guns, of course. This contradiction has never bothered statists. Why are handguns and assault rifles evil and wicked in the hands of private citizens, yet perfectly fine in the hands of employees of the state? Why is it that the violence of the state is legal, but violence of the individual is illegal? If this is truly government by the people, why do we see the servants disarming their masters by force? What do they fear from us if theirs is a legitimate, benevolent government? If the state does not seek to control us, why does it want us disarmed? The usual answer, stripped of equivocation, is that mere citizens are like half-witted children, incapable of safely handling dangerous commodities such as weapons, explosives, medicines, or information. And only when some half-witted children pass a civil service exam or are elected by other half-wits to work for the wise and benevolent state, do they magically become smart and honest and trustworthy enough to carry weapons and decide whom shall be allowed to possess guns and what sort of design, shape, weight such weapons shall be. Sounds pretty condescending and paternalistic, doesn't it? That's how they view us. Sheep for the shearing at tax time, cannon fodder during wartime, and dangerous idiots the rest of the time. How dare they ask us to obey their decrees? What many gun owners refuse to face, usually by saying, "It can't happen in America," is that the government can and does create new classes of criminals with the mere stroke of a pen. In 1919, Prohibition turned millions of Americans overnight from social drinkers to enemies of the state. The victimless crime of ingesting alcohol turned neighborly, peaceful people into fair game for imprisonment, fines, seizure of property, and more. Some fought back, often with simple shotguns, against the revenuers. Often armed with assault rifles, the Thompson submachine gun, in a modern version of the Whiskey Rebellion. The Prohibition Amendment created crime by definition. If tomorrow smoking or drinking coffee or owning a book were declared illegal, the state would suddenly point to a new criminal underworld of massive proportions. In the eyes of the state, they would become a new breed of criminal, to be weeded out of society and thrown into prisons. So it is with any prohibition of popular activities, including gun ownership. Let's face it, the police respond faster to calls from Beverly Hills than they do from calls from Watts and South Central LA. And the rich can afford armed guards, be it personal bodyguards or guards at their estates. When so-called Saturday night specials are banned, does it affect those who can spend $1,000 on a Kimber? No. Does it prevent criminals from stealing whatever weapon they want or buying it illegally? No. The only people harmed by a cheap handgun ban are the honest working poor who have hardly enough money to feed their children, let alone defend themselves from inner city marauders. One only has to look at the city of Chicago as an example. The taxes and fees to own and carry a gun in the city of Chicago makes a small, inexpensive weapon such as a Charter Arms 38 so costly that the average working person in the inner city cannot afford to do so. But a street thug can get one illegally and carry out a shootings on the weekend to the extent where 18 or 19 people are killed over a holiday weekend and another 30 are wounded, and no one bats an eye. And the reason this is allowed to happen is the liberal utopia of gun control. Statists run amok. Any form of gun control disarms those least able to defend themselves. And what good is a 15-day waiting period to someone who is threatened by an armed criminal who is coming by tonight? When one perceives a threat, one should be able to acquire protection immediately. Ask anyone who has ever been stalked if a 15-day waiting period is a good idea and if their stalker will wait 2 weeks and a day. The Gun Control Act of 1968 was rammed down the throats of the American public, blatantly exploiting then-current fears of gun-toting black rioters by implying that the law would help to disarm American blacks, other minorities, and all dissenters at a time of civil upheaval. To paraphrase a popular slogan at the time, if the government does not trust minorities with guns, minorities cannot trust the government. Ask any Native American. Here, and have some nice blankets. In a mirror image case 20 years later, assault rifle bans were ramrodded through the legislatures by appealing to fears that gun-toting white racists were on the loose. Thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Clinton. The real and only purpose of gun control is to disarm the innocent and the peaceful of whatever race, creed, and social status that they are. The same goes for women. Police and purported feminists urge women to resist rape with fists, fingernails, key rings, screams, and urinating on themselves. But why would any woman allow an assailant to get within arm's reach of her? Why don't women's rights activists in or out of government reveal the most effective way for a woman to defend herself? Buy a gun and learn how to safely use it to kill any attacker. The truth is, they want women to feel weak and perpetually threatened so that they will beg the state for protection. A woman standing proud, armed, and fearless is the last thing most self-proclaimed feminists want, since that would undercut their perverse longing for a huge paternalistic government. Think back to Sandra Fluke whining that the government must provide her with contraception. Why must daddy government pay for your contraception if you're a strong feminist role model? If the government has to buy your contraception, then that means the government has to protect you in other ways. If we have to protect you from getting pregnant, we have to protect you from being raped. No, the government has no responsibility to protect you from anything. Protect yourself. Stand strong. How can people who work for or worship the state, statists to the murder of 5 children in a schoolyard, 14 people at a Christmas party, 20 people in a restaurant, and claim that as sufficient reason to disarm tens of millions of Americans? Are they so presumptuous as to suggest that we are incapable? Or are they so presumptuous as to suggest that we are capable of such violent madness ourselves? Perhaps there is a degree of psychological projection going on here. Statists feel within themselves the urge to kill and project it upon people they fear the most, us. If we look back through history, every statist regime, Mao, Stalin, Lenin, Hitler, have all been mass murderers. And the statists in the United States seek to disarm the citizens for no other reason than to be able to depopulate the U.S. The victims of the state will be us if we allow this to occur. For while hundreds of millions of people own guns, only a minuscule fraction ever use those guns to aggress against others. Every state, however, has guns and even more powerful and terrifying weapons in its clutches. And every state has used them, will use them, and are using them to murder hundreds, thousands, and millions of innocent, unarmed people. Anybody remember Kent State, Waco, Ruby Ridge? Our U.S. government has a long history, even a long recent history, of killing its own people for no apparent reason. How can the insane mind of a Patrick Purdy even dream of matching the death toll of the most minor skirmish and the smallest of wars or police actions? The murder of 5 innocent children is heart-rendingly tragic, but how many thousands of innocent children were roasted in Hiroshima and Nagasaki? How many unarmed, peaceful young people were slaughtered in Tiananmen Square? How many women, children, and old people have been shot by bullets of their own government in Vietnam, Cambodia, Angola, Nicaragua, El Salvador, India, Israel, Afghanistan, Tibet, Argentina, Libya, Ireland, Russia, South Africa, Chile, Pakistan, Zimbabwe, Iran, and on and on and on. For every state you can name, even our United States, For statists to use the mass murder of a few people as an excuse to disarm Americans when the state is the largest, bloodiest, longest-lived institution of mass murder in all of history is appallingly hypocritical. Do we owe allegiance to the apologists for such atrocities? No, not now, not ever. We owe them nothing, for they owe us nothing. The state owes us nothing, they give us nothing, and they take from us everything. We are a free people, and the only way we shall remain a free people is by standing up to the statists and saying, no, this is just the first part in a multi-part piece on gun control. This is Bill, General Gonzo S. Patton Turner, and I want to thank you for joining me today as we talked about this, and I hope you will come back and join me as we go forward and we talk about this even further, because it's more important than ever for us as the state attempts to disarm us and use tragedies like what happened yesterday in San Bernardino to take away our weapons, because we cannot allow that to occur. And the Muslims who did the atrocity yesterday were not extremists. They practice Islam to the letter. Islam is the problem. Please join me in a prayer as we close the show. Lord, make me fast and accurate. Let my aim be true and my hand faster than those who would seek to destroy me. Grant me victory over my foes and those that wish to do harm to me and mine. Let not my last thought be, if I only had my gun. And Lord, if today is truly the day that you call me home, let me die in a pile of brass, waist deep in the cadavers of thy enemy and those who would harm you, me, and others. May the foes of freedom be struck down before me as if I am the vengeful striking hammer of the Lord, for I am not here to pass judgment. I am merely here to facilitate the meeting when it is time. As we all know from having read the Bible, the blood runs when the time comes. The Mahdi shall not return, not in my lifetime, shall the evil of Satan take the form of the leader of Islam. For we are protected as Christian warriors. May God himself bless us all. Bless the USA in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you again for joining me. And come back for our next episode when we get together to talk on Sunday at noon and finish up about gun control and why it's important that we not surrender our weapons. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
We'd like to dedicate this next song to our troops and to their families, no matter where they are tonight. May God bless each and every one of them. Amen. Thank you.
array of friends. Ain't on the edge of no popular trend. Ain't never seen the inside of that magazine, GQ. We don't care if you're a lawyer or a Texas old man, or some waitress busting ass at some liquor stand. If you got soul, we hang out with people just like you. My hair's turning white, my neck's always been red, my collar's still blue. We've always been here, just trying to sing the truth.